All right, let's turn to the passage of the week. And before we dive into it, this is actually a very tough passage. So allow me to do a little bit of a setup for it. We're in John chapter 1, or no, chapter 2, verses 20. I'll get this right eventually. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 3:10. And I was thinking about a story that could frame things. I realized there's already a story that's been written on this, so I'm going to do my own paraphrase of a story called Alligator Baby by Robert Munch. You ready? One night, Kristen's mother woke up and said, "A baby, a baby, a baby, I'm having a baby." And so Kristen's father got up quickly and they drove off. But unfortunately, they got lost. And they ended up at the zoo. The baby was born just fine. But the next morning, as Kristen was sitting in her house, her parents came up to the door and they knocked on the door. Blam, blam, blam. She opened up the door and Kristen's mother said, "Kristen, would you like to see your new baby brother?" "Oh, yes," said Kristen. And so Kristen picked up the bottom of the blanket and she saw a long, leathery tail. "That's not a people tail," Kristen said. She picked up the middle of the blanket and she saw a long, green claw. "That's not a people claw," said Kristen. She picked up the top of the blanket and she saw a long green snout. "That's not a people snout," she said. "This is not my baby brother." "Now, Kristen, don't be jealous," said Kristen's mother. Just then the alligator reached up and bit Kristen's mother on the nose. "Youch!" And bit Kristen's father on the nose. "Youch! That's not our baby," said the mother and father, and they rushed out the door back to the zoo. An hour later, they came back, and they knocked on the door. Make the sound for me. Blam, blam, blam. "Kristen, open the door. Would you like to see your baby brother?" said Kristen's mother. "Oh, yes," said Kristen. And so Kristen opened up the bottom of the blanket, and she saw a big fishy tail. "That's not a people tail," said Kristen. She picked up the middle of the blanket, and she saw fishy fins. "That's not people fins," said Kristen. She picked up the top, and she saw a furry brown snout. "That is not a people snout," said Kristen. "That is not my baby brother." "Now, Kristen, don't be jealous," said Kristen's mother. Just then, the seal baby reached up and flap, 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 hit Kristen's mother in the face and reached up, flap, 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 and hit Kristen's father in the face. And they said, "Oh, no, that's not our baby." And so Kristen's mother and father rushed out the door and back to the zoo. An hour later, Kristen's mother and father came back and they knocked on the door. "Kristen," said Kristen's mother, "would you like to see your new baby brother?" "Oh, yes," said Kristen. So she picked up the bottom of the blanket. She saw a big, hairy leg. "That's not a people leg," said Kristen. She picked up the middle of the blanket and saw big, hairy hands. "Those aren't people hands," said Kristen. She picked up the top of the blanket and she saw a gorilla face. And she said, "That is not a people face." "Now, Kristen," said her mother. So they put the alligator baby in the fish tank. They put the seal baby into the bathtub. And they left the gorilla baby hanging from the chandelier while Kristen went off to the zoo on her bike. She rode over there and she looked in all the different cages. She looked in the snake cage. No people, baby. She looked in the wombat cage. She looked in the alligator pond. Then she looked in the gorilla cage, and there was a baby. There was a gorilla holding the baby. Just then, the people baby reached up and bit the gorilla on the nose. Ouch! Said the gorilla. I can't. I'm trying. Okay, help me out. Ouch! Said the gorilla and handed the baby over to Kristen. Kristen put the baby in the basket of her bike and rode home, and she knocked on the door, and her parents let her in. Would you like to see your new baby brother, said Kristen. Oh, yes, said her mother. And she picked up the bottom of the blanket, and she saw people feet. She picked up the middle of the blanket, and she saw. Picked up the top of the blanket and saw. Oh, that's my baby, said Kristen's mother and father. But what are we going to do about all these other animal babies? And Kristen looked out the window, and coming down the road was a gorilla mommy and an alligator mommy and a seal mommy. And we don't need to worry about that, said Kristen. And everything was fine until Kristen's mother had twins. And that's the end. So that's alligator baby, told very poorly by me, but by Robert Munch. Now the point of the story. Why is the story funny? You would think that if somebody brought you go down to the maternity ward and somebody brings out an alligator, you go, it's obvious, right? Because we know that the parents influence the child. Identity influences character and behavior. And it matters whose baby it is. You expect different things based on whose baby it is. Keep that image in your mind as we turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 310. This is a very difficult passage. You know, there are verses in Scripture that, you know, you can kind of pull out one verse at a time, and then, you know, you memorize it, you put it on your wall, and you go, oh, yes, that really speaks to my heart. There are verses in this section that if you just kind of do the, you know, like sometimes people will only go the, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? The king of Shechek will drink it too. I mean, it's a little, if you landed on this verse, it wouldn't just be weird. It could actually pull you right off of the heart of the gospel. We need to remember that when the Bible was written, you know, all the little verses and the chapter things, that wasn't there. This was just somebody, in this case, John, writing a letter to the churches. He didn't go, chapter 3, verse 1. And now, what should I do for verse 2? I mean, he was just writing. And so, this takes us into a fairly complex argument. So actually, to kind of hang with me. But the key to it is this issue of identity. Whose are you? And how does your identity influence what you do? Okay, let's go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Whose children are you? If you believe in Jesus, okay? And so, as we take on the character of Christ, because of the identity that Christ has given us, we become changed, even though we don't fully know what that change is going to entail in the long run. But we do know, from the second half of verse 2, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Who will you be like? Jesus. You're a child of God. Who will you be more like? Yes. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him, in who? Who? In Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure. Who's pure? Jesus. Very good. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him, in who? In Jesus is no sin. So if you're in Jesus, what are you? You're forgiven. From God's perspective, you are sin-free. Verse 6, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Who's he? He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. The challenge in this passage is this. When we start with the issue of identity, we are children of who? Becoming like who? That is your identity, says God. You are a child of God. You are loved by me. You are forgiven by Jesus. That your sins have been washed away by Jesus. When we start with identity, it naturally follows that we will change because of that identity. But one of the things that can happen in this verse, if we read it the wrong way, and this is the way sometimes that religion and moralism creeps into the church in ways that are extremely unhealthy. It tries to work it around the other way. Like, if you can just behave enough, eventually you will belong to God. If you just get your act cleaned up enough, eventually God will love you, when in fact it's the other way around. That identity drives transformation rather than behavior driving a change in identity. Now, that might be a little bit of a complex idea. Let me work with this one. So you're married, or if you're not, imagine you are. And you're going, I want to grow, I want to be a person that is faithful to my spouse. I want to be faithful to my spouse. There's a couple ways you could approach it. You could, one hand, you could start making a list of all, because you want to be faithful to your spouse, you could make a list of all the people that you are determined to not think amorous thoughts about. Just make a list. Bring it out. Maybe start with the supermodels under A. Make the list. Just, you can make it in your mind. Oh, yes. I can't think about her. Or you could approach it from the standpoint of, make a list of all the things you love about your spouse. One list will lead you to distraction. And as hard as you might pursue that, it'll actually lead you down the very road you didn't want to go. The other list, I mean, and if you're making this list in your mind, you're thinking, preacher, I hope you finish up, because I got to go home soon. Anyways, some of you married folks will know what I'm talking about. So you're making a list. You're making a list of all the things. Wow, that's right, and she's kind and generous and gracious, and she's hot, and I just love her. And you make all the list of the things you appreciate about your spouse, and you'll actually grow in your love for your spouse. The point the point. As we love Jesus more, sin becomes yuckier. As we love Jesus more, the things that pull us away from God get less appealing even. So the point isn't to make the list and figure out all the things you shouldn't do and then, you know, just fixate on behavior. Rather, it's to go deep in the issue of identity and whose you are. You belong to Jesus. You are his child. You are his beloved son, his beloved daughter. And as you go deep into that identity, it will change you. It will change how you live. It will change how you think. Now, that doesn't mean that if there are particular sins and vices that we're naive or foolish about them, or we don't take care to not step into patterns that we know have caused us to fall in the past. This is not at the expense of wisdom and common sense. But what it is being mindful that to grow in holiness, to grow in righteousness, it's a matter of growing deeper in who Jesus already says you are. You are his child. There is nothing you could do that would impress him any more than how much he loves you already right now. So I want to ask you a question, okay? Rick, would you put up the next one? At first, this might seem like a really easy one, but I want you to roll it around in your mind for a minute or two. It might seem really simple, but imagine someone in the very same life circumstances as you. Same marriage as you, or same non-marriage as you. Same job as you. Same frustrations that you have. Same income, same clothing, same car, same everything. Someone exactly like you. What might that person do if he or she absolutely believed that they were God's child and God was with them in every situation? What might that person do if they absolutely believed that they were God's child and God was with them in every situation? So you're going through a financial hard time and you go, God, I know you're with me in this. I know you're working something good out through this. I know that you desire good for my life. I know you're with me. You're in a season of blessing and you go, God, I know that you have given me this opportunity for a reason so that I can leverage it for the sake of your kingdom so that other people can be blessed as a result of what I've been given. What would that person do? What would that person do if they absolutely believed that they were God's child and God was with them in every situation? While you're thinking about that, I want to pass something around. This is going to be we're going to do a little, it's craft time, okay? So inside of there's a teeny little stickers, okay? So see if you can take one out. It's your choice, there's a variety of them. And then pass it down. They're really tiny, so if they kind of get dropped and land on the floor, that's okay. So we'll take some more and just pass them around. So just take a little sticker out. And the craft I'd like you to try. Let me grab one. Yeah, some of these they're kind of hard to grab. I know. So it's gonna take a little bit, and they might be a little hard to take off here. So it's one of those things that seems like a good idea at the time, but here's what I want you to do. Do you have your cell phone with you? Or a phone if you keep a watch on your hand? I'm sorry. Something you look at on a regular basis to mark time. What if, in every circumstance, in every situation, whether good or bad, you were absolutely confident that you were God's child and God was with you? What I'd like you to do, maybe, is take that itty-bitty sticker and put it just somewhere on your phone or your watch. Just one, just one little spot that every time you open up your phone, getting ready to make a call, oh, what time is it? Oh, yeah. God is with you. Not because of the sticker, by the way, but just the simple reminder. The simple reminder. God is with you in every circumstance, in every situation. You are his child. If you have put your trust in Jesus, if you've asked him to cleanse you of your sin and make you a new person, the truth of the gospel, you are a child of God. You're not an alligator baby. You are not a seal baby. You are not a gorilla baby. You are a God baby. That identity, as you plummet, as you go deep into it, as you root your heart in it, that identity will change your life if you dare to let it. So, little Columbia Grove craft time. Find some place. You know, or maybe if you wear glasses, put it up in the little corner. So, I don't know. Whatever you do. Not your contacts. That would really be a bad idea. Just like that. Some little reminder that on a regular basis you'll see it and go, that's right. I'm a child of God. And God is with me even in this circumstance. Even in this situation, God is with me. God is with me. And because he's with me, what then do I do? How then do I live? Because identity influences behavior, not the other way around. It flows out of who you are and whose you are. And you are a child of God. Pray with me. Lord, thanks for these reminders. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Oh, Father, would you root us deeply in that identity? So that in those moments where we're tempted to think that we belong to somebody other than you, that you would remind us and pull us back. Lord, that we would go deep into that identity, that we would love Jesus more and over time love sin less. Lord, would you guard us corporately from being a church of moralists or a church of legalists where we chase the weeds and rather than trying to grow the grass. Where we make the list of the things we shouldn't do rather than make the list of the things that we should. Concern ourselves with all the things we don't want to do instead of going deep into who we actually are. Lord, help us to live out that identity. Children of God, belonging to Jesus, being transformed into his likeness. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.